The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
Cars were passing us left and right, and I'm like, I looked down at the guy I was with, and I said, "Man, the speed limit is 45. I'm doing 60, and I'm being passed." And we got out to the Jersey Turnpike, and a Jersey Turnpike guy looked at me like he got suspicious. Why is he going so slow? And there's no way you can tell him, "I'm not from here." Right? "I'm not from here." But anyway, we are glad you're here this morning. Amen? Yeah. What a wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. We have, I have to apologize to our tech staff this morning. I walked out of the house and left my scriptures there, but they've recovered me. And I thank God for that. We got people that make us look good, okay? And so we appreciate that. And we wanted, and their heart was to that you would have the word this morning. So we're going to have the scriptures for you up on the screen. This weekend, typically in America, we celebrate Independence Day. Amen? Freedom. 246 years ago, we didn't live like we live today. We had to pay homage. We had to pay duty to King George and Britain. We were subjects of a monarchy that was not a righteous theocracy. You might have heard of a little tea party that took place in Boston. You might have heard of the shot heard around the world. You might have heard of Paul Revere. You might have heard the famous midnight ride, one if by land and two if by sea. You know, the British are coming. And while we have great friends in Britain, and Brother Dave, if you're watching this, we love you. We appreciate you. But we are Yanks, and we love it. And this week, we celebrate our independence. I made a note. I was talking with some of you know, may recall Pastor Jess Gibson before he passed away a couple of years, 3 years back. And we were at a conference together up in South Bend, and Pastor Jess and I stayed at the same hotel, and we were coming down. They had one of those continental breakfast things there, and he was getting coffee. I had coffee, and we were talking about the previous night's events. And I happened to we happened to be talking, and I made a note in that talk, and because if you knew Pastor Jess, the man knew his history and he knew the word. History of our nation, he was a history buff and he knew the word. And so I made a note as we were talking, and this came up in the conversation. King George on July 4th, 1776, in his daily journal, you know, the thing the kings write in, made this note. This notation was found. "Nothing of significance happened in the world today." He initialed it, shut the book. July 4th, 1776. Half a world away, the ruling monarch said, "Nothing of significance happened in the world today." But a half a world away. A half a world away. I say that to say this. Your enemy may have already written in his journal today, "Nothing of significance happened in their life today." But this morning, in this house, when heaven came near, God moved. You may not have felt him. You may have been out of place. You may have been out of touch. You may have been out of step. But in this place, God moved. And in this place, in your life today, something significant can happen if you will receive heaven touching earth. Amen? Today could be your Independence Day. Independence from what? Whatever is binding you. Independence from what? Whatever is holding you back. Independence from, what do I need to be independent from? You know, one of the biggest things, Pastor, that we've been doing for the last several years is trying to teach freedom biblically to people who think they're free. There are people who assume they're free, but they're bound on every side. How do I teach freedom to someone who believes they're free? Do you know there's a syndrome, there's a psychosis, a syndrome called Stockholm Syndrome. Anybody ever heard of Stockholm Syndrome? It's where people have been in prison for so long, and this happened, they actually observed this in the latter parts of Vietnam. They had convinced the people that there was no need left to fight. They had convinced the people, and some of you guys may have heard the stories of Tokyo Rose and some of the other ones that would go on the airwaves and say, your families hate you, your people back home have forgotten about you, they don't care about you, and they convince the prisoners that there's nothing left worth fighting for, and they believe them. That's a syndrome. And they could even, in several places, they could even remove the walls, because when your spirit gets broken, what's the use? Over the last 246 years, I think America, by and large, has fallen victim to this syndrome where the enemy says, what's the use? You're not cared about. The Lord don't care about you. If He loved you, He would have been here already. He tries to take everyday events and turn them into major episodes. Why didn't God do this? Why didn't God do that? If God is love and God is this, why is there so much suffering in the world? And people struggle to come to terms and come to grips with why, if God is this, why then this? That is a syndrome of prisoners that no longer need walls to constrain them. Let me tell you today, in a message of liberty, in a message of freedom, God is still on the throne. His plan is still on track. He knows the plans that He has for you, said Jeremiah the prophet. Plans to bless you, plans to lift you up and not do you harm. Don't buy into the world's programming that if God was coming back, He would have been here by now. You know, in this sanctuary, you know that the Lord was in this place. Amen? Did you not feel the Lord in this place this man? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You see, if Revelation tells us that we overcome our adversary, the enemy, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, what if the Lord is looking for us today and wanting to hear the testimony that He was in this place? If I can have as much of the Lord as I want, and the Bible clearly says that, why don't I want much? If I can have as much of the love of God, the grace of God, the blessings of God, the provision of God, the prosperity of God, if I can have all of that that I want, why don't I want much? Has anybody taken the papist vow of poverty here? You know, there's an order of Franciscans that haven't spoken a word in the last 25 years. Sometimes I think I'm preaching to them. I'm kidding. Well, praise God. How many of you want to know how to be free today? Amen. How many of you want to get free of those things that are holding you back, keeping you from being what God has for you to be? If God knows the plans that He has for you, shouldn't you? How can you know the plans that God has for you? Well, we could start by asking Him, right? Lord, what do you got for me today? What do you have for me to do today? Amen. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 12. I'm going to read out of the New King James this morning, I'm not going to think anymore because that's subject to interpretation. If you're here today and you want to be blessed and you want to be set free, you will be.
Amen.
How's that for a statement? If you're here today and you want to be released from that, those chains that are holding you, we are going to help you. We're going to preach the gospel to those who are oppressed, and we are going to release the chains that bind you today. Amen? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to release the captives, to set free those in bondage. Two places in your scripture, in Isaiah, and then what Jesus quoted. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, now what do we do when we come to a therefore? We stop and see what it's there for, right? Yeah, that means that it's there for a reason, right? So we got to make sure when we're reading the scripture, we see what it's there for. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Do I boast in myself? No, I boast in the Lord. I boast in His authority. I boast in His grace and His power. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for unto this day, this same veil remains unlifted in reading of the Old Testament, because the veil was taken away, is taken away in Christ. The Jews today don't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, so they read with a veiled face. Aren't you glad today that the Apostle Paul told clearly that we can clearly express the mysteries of the gospel? One of the mysteries of the gospel is how people can be offered freedom and yet choose to be bound. One of the mysteries to me is how people can have access to the cure for men's disease, which is sin, and opt out. I'll try to go it on my own. But even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil lies on their heart. Verse number 16, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is Spirit. Now this is the key verse for this passage. Now the Lord is Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Hallelujah.
Say liberty, somebody.
Liberty.
Liberty means freedom. If the Spirit of the Lord is in this place, then there's freedom in this place. One of the things that we've been talking about for the last 2-3 years is that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. There's freedom in the house of the Lord because His Spirit is here.
Amen.
And you can be free. One of the things that troubles me is that people come into the house of the Lord and they experience His Spirit. And they experience freedom. And they experience the burdens being lifted away. But on their way out the door, they pick them back up. On the way out the door, they say, you know what, that was awesome for a minute. And I want believers today, I want you to be free for the remainder of your life. Not just for an hour church service, not just for an hour Bible study. I want you to be free to live as the Lord has intended you to be.
Amen.
Because it's so much better living free. Truly free. Not believing I'm free, not believing that I'm not in chains, but truly free in Jesus' name. Is that something you're interested in?
Amen.
If you think of this for a moment, if you can get free of the binds that tie you, the ties that bind you, the chains that hold you fast. If you could get free of this, then you would be as Peter of old. And when you walked down the street, the very shadow of you going over people on mats, they would jump up and leap for joy. Why do we settle for less? Why do we settle for just wanting to go to heaven? Why do we settle for limited knowledge when we can have everything? The Holy Spirit searches the things of God, the deep things of God, and reveals them to those who are filled with Him. Why do we settle for less? You've got the keys to the kingdom. You've got the keys to eternity. You've got the keys in you. Have you not heard? You are the tent or the temple or the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost. God in you, the hope of glory. It's in you. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit is in you. But we quench the Holy Spirit of God when we try to put our own understanding. When we try to say, you know what? I know that God said that we could be healed, but the doctor says. I know that God said that He wanted us to be in health and prosper even as our soul prospers, but I got this report. I know that I can. I know the Bible says one thing, but the world is telling me another. I know that the Bible says this, but my boss is telling me this. I know. Whose report will you believe? We used to sing that song 25 years ago. We shall believe the report of the Lord. Whose report will you believe? You see. You know what's amazing? Thomas, who was called Didymus or the twin, said, I will not believe until I put my hand in his nail prints, until I thrust my hand in the wound in his side. I will not believe. And Jesus told him, when he appeared to him again, he says, Thomas, come here. Feel my wounds. Thrust your hand up in the wound in the side. And Thomas goes, oh, thank you, Jesus, it's you. I'm paraphrasing. And Jesus looked at Thomas and he said, you believed because you saw. But blessed are they who believe and do not see. You know what that tells me? That tells me that seeing is not believing, but believing is seeing. Amen? And we need to believe in a big God. He's a big, big God. He's an awesome God. He's more awesome than we can comprehend. Just when, you know, at one point in time, I had been in college and schools for nigh on to 25 years. There was not one year that I took a year off. For 25 years, I had been in Bible college, I'd been in regular college, I'd been through secular colleges and trainings, and for 25 years. I didn't graduate from Bible college until 2004, I think it was. I graduated high school in 1980, yeah. 24 years later, every year I was in a college program. I didn't get my bachelor's degree for business until 2008. Every year I was learning. Every year I was in school. Every year I was, even now, I'm going through trainings and whatnot. But you know what? The more I know about God, the more there is to know about Him. The more I find out about Him, the more I find there is to know about Him. Who can know Him? It's been an endless search, but it's been wonderful. I'm like the Apostle Paul said, I feel like him sometimes, I'm not like him, but I feel like him. He said, I'm trying to get my arms around, or I'm trying to apprehend or comprehend that which has apprehended or got a hold of me. So I don't claim to know it all. But I've got the Holy Ghost in me, and he knows everything. And he searches the things, then the deep things of God. And he will reveal them to you if you'll listen to him.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
How can you have such knowledge? Remember in the upper room? Remember in the upper room when the gift of the Holy Ghost was given at the birth of the church? And the men all around Judea and Jerusalem, they said, aren't these men just common fishermen? How can they speak such things? And one of them said, I think they're drunk with new wine. That has to be it. What did Peter say? Well, hang on a second. You remember Peter on the porch? Anybody remember Peter on the porch? Nobody? Okay, we'll have teaching. Peter on the porch said, I tell you, I don't know him. Peter on the porch, a little girl came up to him and said, surely you were with him because your speech gives him away. I tell you, I don't know him. Another maiden came over to him and said, I know that you were with him. I think I saw you with our I'm paraphrasing. You were with him. You're one of them. And Peter cussed, swore, and said, I don't know him, and he ran away. The one passage said that Jesus told him, he said, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. That's Peter on the porch. I believe it's the book of Mark that says that, I may be wrong, but the book of Mark, one of the Gospels, says that when the rooster crowed, Jesus turned and looked at Peter. Not to say, I told you so. You see, that's a human characteristic. To say, I told you so, to rub your nose in it, that's what humans do. I believe when Jesus turned and looked at Peter, not only was he hoping and praying for Peter at that moment, but I think he looked at him with all the love that he could muster. Because he knows us better than we know ourselves. We're not going to have a day. We're not going to have an hour. We're not going to have a minute where God will not intervene in it if we will let him. It might have been different had Peter not done it. But Peter didn't have the Holy Ghost as we do. He didn't have the helper. He didn't have the paraclete yet. So from the porch, and then you get the breakfast on the beach. Pastor does an excellent job of explaining and talking about that. But when these men begin to look at the leaders in the upper room, and when the mighty rushing wind came in, that great liberator, the birth of the church, from the porch to the upper room, something had changed in Peter. So I asked myself, and I've got several people from my high school days and work days that slip onto the broadcast here, and I ask myself, is there a difference between JC post-salvation and JC modern day? Can the world see Jesus in you, in other words? Sometimes, you got to love Pastor Burkhart. People go around looking like they've been sucking on raw persimmons. Face as long as an army mule. Now, if you don't understand what that looks like, Brother Cornelius will tell you what an army mule looks like after church. Long-faced. Some people got baptized in Eeyore's water trough. I'm happy down here. Well, brother and sister, if you're happy down here, get word to your face because you're bringing us down. There must be a cable down somewhere. Got to put some Wi-Fi between here and there because it ain't reflecting. I just thought of something I can't say. I just thought of something. Remind me after church and I'll tell you. All right. So the spirit of the Lord is spirit. We felt him this morning. He's here. He came in and he went from the Bible, your Bible says, from breast to breast to breast to breast. And he began to lift us up. He began to come up and, as it were, hug you. Now, I know there's going to be some people that are going to take exception. Well, he's saying God hugs them. Well, God loves us. And if you allow him, he will cover you as it were a mantle. He will cover you as it were a shawl. He will cover you as it were your favorite blankie. Right? If you will allow him to. Isn't it about time, believer, that we quit trying to be what the world says we ought to be and we start being what we want to be in Christ? What he wants us to be? Isn't it about time that we quit playing the world's game? I mean, it's like the world tries to put us down in everything. They try to push our buttons. And I was talking with a brother yesterday, and he seemed like somebody, every time you get around certain people, they not only do they try to push the button, they get in there and knock off the switch and wire it together, hardwire it. Now, your kids will do that to you because they know where you live. Your kids will do that to you. Work will do that to you. Try to do it to you. You allow somebody to get that deep into you. When they leave, they should have Jesus all over them. If we were to do some Holy Ghost forensics, somebody getting that deep into your grill, when they leave, they ought to have Jesus all over them, like somebody had been shot with a gun at close range. Some of that blood of Jesus ought to be spattering all over them. That's a little deep. I'll slow down a bit. When people come up against Christians, believers, Holy Spirit baptized believers, can they see a difference in them today than they could pre-Jesus? Well, what are you saying? We're supposed to be perfect? Heavens, no. Heavens, no. If we were perfect, we would have no need of Jesus. And let me just tell you, I need him. Every hour I need thee, like the old hymn says. Every hour of every day, I won't walk without Jesus. I won't talk without Jesus. I don't want to get out of bed without Jesus. The other day, yesterday, I got up and it was all foggy outside. It evidently had rained in the middle of the night. I didn't know. I was unaware. Went out there, took my coffee, and was sitting out there watching the sun come up. Oh, my goodness. You know, and I noticed that when I first walked out, I couldn't see from here to the street. Took another sip of coffee, prayed a little more. As the sun began to crest the horizon, things came into focus a little better. And those of you who've been out to the house, the first house down the lane started, I could see the outline of it. Took another sip of coffee, prayed a little bit more. And then I could see their shed, their barn. Prayed a little bit more. The sun got a little higher in the day. And I started to see the outline of the barns way back the lane. You know what's so amazing? When I begin to think about that, I begin to rejoice out there on my back porch. I begin to rejoice because I'm getting to the point where the sun is higher in the sky for me. I'm getting to the point where there are times in worship I can almost see heaven from here. I'm getting to the point where my perspective is different than it was as that 20-year-old, that 30-year-old. I'm getting to a point where I can see, as it were, in the spirit man. I can look in not too far distant future. There will be streets of gold in this pastor's horizon. I can look and I can see there will be Jesus coming to meet me there. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you always, even until the end. But there's something else that we miss a lot of times. He said, I'm going to prepare you a place. But don't be worried about it. Because if I go to prepare you a place, I will come again and receive you to myself. I fully expect, and I don't know when it will be. Will it be in the morning? Will it be at night? I don't know. But I fully expect, as every believer who has passed from this life into eternity, every believer has heard a friend call their name. And I fully expect to hear Jesus say, JC. And I'll say, Lord, is it today? Lord, is it today? Did I tell Corey that I loved him yesterday? Did I tell Andy that I loved him yesterday? Lord, is it today? Are we going today? There was a song back in the 80s and it said, while it is still called today, while it's still called today, you can be free. You can be free. You can have those chains ripped off of you. You can have those shackles ripped off of you. You can dance, as Sister Ashley alluded to and inferred in the worship. You can still be free today. And let me just guarantee you, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen? Amen. So the Lord is Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Let me ask you, are you living in the freedom provided by Jesus? Are you really free? Have there been times that you wanted to shout and you didn't? Have there been times that you wanted to dance and you didn't? Have there been times that you wanted to run the aisles and you didn't? Let me ask you, examine your heart. What kept you? As the Apostle Paul said to Galatians and over in chapter 3, what hindered you? What hindered you? Well, that would look kind of uncouth, Pastor, if I did that. I don't want to seem undignified. If King David, bringing the ark or the glory of God back to Jerusalem, got a little bit excited and danced through the streets in a linen ephod, I got a feeling you ain't going to get close there. There's a border set that we don't even have any linen ephods in here, and I don't think Under Armour makes any. Joe Boxer don't make them. All right? Just throwing that out there. What hindered you? If you're going to receive something that you've never received, you're going to have to worship something you've never worshiped. You're going to have to do something that you haven't done. Because to keep doing the same thing the same way and expecting different results, Albert Einstein is quoted as saying the mark of lunacy. If I want something from the Lord that I've been asking Him for and I've been worshiping for and I've been believing for, maybe there's a praise that I have that He hasn't heard yet. Because we know that He inhabits the praises of His people. Right? And when the praises go up, His blessings come down. You ain't feeling blessed? If you ain't feeling blessed, let me give you a clue. Start praising the Lord. I'm going to steal Pastor's phrase. I'm going to steal Pastor's phrase. There's a nugget for you right there. If you ain't feeling blessed, start praising the Lord. Well, you know, I really don't, people I'm around, they don't like me praising the Lord. Get around more people. Get around different people. That's what it means, right? Isn't that what it says? Your surrounded people will corrupt good morals, right? The people you surround yourself, they'll corrupt your character. You want to receive what the Lord has for you, you're gonna have to lay some weights aside, right? I don't know, maybe I'm talking to people that don't understand. Maybe it's time that we watch old brother, where art thou, and watch how they get the shackles off for them. Get Mary going back in here again. Take the shackles off my feet so I can dance. I just want to praise him. What's holding you back? What has hindered you? That's what Paul asked the church at Galatia, and that's what we're going to be asked. What hindered you? The Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom in the house.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. But now we, with an unveiled face, aren't you glad you don't have to hide your face from the Lord anymore? Aren't you glad, believer, that he'll walk right in? A lot of times he gets right in your mess. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image. Wait a minute. My granddaughter would say, wait a minute. Stick that little finger up. Wait a minute, Papa. Whose image are we being transformed into? Whose image are we being transformed into? Let me throw a challenge for you, church, and those of you watching online this morning. Next time you come to a worship service, WWJD. If you're being transformed into his image, I want to see what you perceive that he would do in worship service. Because sometimes, not necessarily here, but sometimes in some churches, they could hold worship service on hole number 17 at the Masters. PGA. Golf clap. I want to get to the place where we have to tell the king, you got to let us go 3 days out in the wilderness to worship you, because if we start worshiping now, we're going to offend some of you. I want to get to the place where we have to tell people, you know what, you got to let us go. You got to give us 3 days, because we're going to go out there and we're going to worship and we're going to reveal the iniquity of that which is going on through our worship. We're going to raise up a holy God who's going to shine a light on all the sin, and it might offend some of you. Would your lost friends be offended by your worship? Asking for a friend. You see, you're not doing it for them, or you shouldn't be. If you are, then you have made them an idol. And you know what happens to idols, right? Remember just before David brought the Ark of the Covenant back into Israel, you remember what happened? The Philistines had stolen the ark away and they'd put him in the temple with Dagon. You know, Dagon, the fish head god, had a big head and little arms. Big head, and they would bring stuff into him and they would worship him. They bowed down to him, onyx, black onyx or granite. Next thing they come in and Dagon had fallen over and broke his arms off. Huh. Well, that must have just been a coincidence. They set Dagon back up, dusted him off, probably sacrificed to him 3 or 4 more times. Went out the next day, came back in. This time, not only was his arms broke off, but his head was broke off and he was broken into pieces. That's what God thinks of false religion. And the Philistines said, hey, we're going to put this thing on an ox cart. You come and get it. We don't want it here. We can't handle this. You know what they were basically saying? All right, some of you 90s MC Hammers fans, can't touch this. Da-na-na-na-na. All right. Are you free in this house this morning? Can't touch this. The world can't touch it. The devil can't touch it. Our enemies can't touch it. But it dwells in you, the power of God. The Spirit of God dwells in you. Do you know what that means? If they couldn't touch the power of God, if the world couldn't touch it back then, and God doesn't change, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that which is in you, greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Why don't we start acting and living like that? You see, that's how you get free. That's where liberty comes from. That's where your liberty comes from. When you begin to exercise the gifts and callings that God had placed in your life, when you begin to move out on those, they become more frequent. They come closer together. And then the power gifts come. When God finds out He can send them through you, He will send them to you. I was counseling with a fellow this week. The Lord's given you a word for a reason. He didn't give you these gifts to bottle them up. He didn't give these gifts to you. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul, who had the gift of healing and miracles, remember a guy fell out of a second-story window. And Paul was preaching, at 2 in the morning, way in the early morning hours, Paul was preaching. A guy fell out, broke his neck. Paul went down, told him, "Get up in Jesus' name." He went back up. Now be careful on that window ledge again. And they kept preaching. The Apostle Paul raised a man from the dead. But when he was given a thorn in the flesh, the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient." You see, Paul's gift wasn't for him to keep. It wasn't for himself. Your gifting is for the body. We've been talking this big word the last month or two, the edification of the body. Your gifting, if you keep your gifting, you're perverting it, and it will be like manna left over the next day. It'll stink. It'll be full of worms. So when the Lord gives you and sends you something, be obedient. Don't allow the worms to consume your gift. Don't allow the worms to consume that which God has placed in you. Amen? And then we're transformed into the same image, the image of Christ, from glory to glory. Interesting. Not from trial to trial. Does it say that? Does your Bible say from glory to glory? So that means that when you get the victory finally, and you're able to start walking in victory finally, you're going to go from victory to victory finally. Glory to glory. Just as, what's it say? By the Spirit of the Lord. You think the Spirit of the Lord's important? I saw a meme on the I think Facebook or Instagram, somebody sent it to me. It's like, "Do you really need the Holy Spirit to live?" I'm like, "Brother, I need the Holy Ghost to drive through Warsaw." I'm like David, "Cast me not away from your salvation, O Lord, and renew a right spirit in me." I gotta go to CVS today. That's funny, but it's true. None of us be laughing if we didn't know it was true. And then they decide to put a farmer's market right in the middle of the street. Anybody been to the farmer's market lately? I don't know where they're growing them candles at in the farm here in Warsaw, but I'd like to go to that candle farm. I'm impressed. Did you know that they're growing soap here in town somewhere or out in the country, a county somewhere? This farmer's market, a lady had a thing of soap, and I guess she just picked them another day because she said they were fresh. Who knew? You know what I want to do? I want to buy another acre of ground, and I want to raise them little ears of corn like to get at the Chinese place. Because I think in an acre of ground, I could probably get, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 bushels. You know, here in a couple, how many of you ever heard the old adage, and I'm just playing a little bit here, but how many of you ever heard the old adage, and here in Indiana anyway, knee-high by the 4th of July. Boy, there's some of that, you know. Did you ever, growing up, ever hear any of the farmers talking around the breakfast nook or around some, you know, at the feed mill, wherever you go? Did you ever hear any farmers grow up and say, "Hey, John, how tall is your corn this year?" "Well, mine's about 12 feet. "Hey, George, how tall is your?" "Well, mine's about 14 feet. Got, you know, 3 foot ears." "Wow, 3 years to a stalk? Wow." In walks Louie. "Hey, Louie. How's your farm going?" "Man, my corn is great this year. My stalks are 6 inches. I've got 2-inch ears on them. And I'm going to be exporting every bit of it to the Chinese restaurant." It ain't a thing. We can get all worked up over. I mean, now, truth be told, I like those little ears of corn. But when I was helping my uncle farm, that wasn't the goal. That would have been considered a drought year or a blight year, you know. What's your goal? Because you, with the power of the Lord, if you're being changed from glory to glory and victory from victory through the, just as by the Spirit of our Lord, then you're going to achieve the goal you set. Have you set your goal high enough? Have you set your sights high enough? You see. Jess Gibson said another thing. It's not like people plan to fail. They just fail to plan. You know, we got a big God. It's time we call on Him for big things. Amen. You know? I heard a pastor say last week, you know, sometimes the only prayer that God hears out of our lips is a prayer of complaint. Most of the time we just complain to God. It's time we start telling Him how good He is and that He's got this. And no matter what, whether the king put me in the fiery furnace or not, whether he'll deliver me or not, I will soon be with the Lord. And when the king looks in there, he's going to see another man that looks like the Son of God. He's not just putting us in the fire. They're not just going to put us in the flame. They're not just going to throw us into the lion's den. They're going to throw the Lord in there with us. If Christ in us is the hope of glory, whatever the world does to you or tries to do to you, they're doing to Him. Amen? And He's a lot stronger than we are. Go with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Now, in the King James, it would say, "Verily, verily." But it says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is as a thief and a robber." Right? There's a way that people can approach you if you're in the sheepfold. I'll let that sink in for a minute. Nothing is going to come your way in the sheepfold unless it goes through Jesus first. Now, if you're outside the fold, He may have to run to your rescue. But if you're in the sheepfold, nothing is going to come your way that does not go through the door. All right. "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke. Jesus used this illustration that if I'm following him, I'm going to hear his voice. Max Lucado writes of a time when his daughters were young. They're both married and have kids of their own now, but he talks about a time when his daughters were young and they were in a noisy room, the question had been asked, how can I follow the voice of God in today's society with so many things clouding my mind and so many voices and so much noise and so much distraction? How can I follow? And he asked for two volunteers. He said, I want a couple of friends. Any friends want to volunteer for this little exercise? And a couple of them said, yeah, we'll do it. We're friends. We know everything about each other. Do you now? We don't have any secrets from each other. We're BFFs for life, forever. He said, okay. And he called his youngest daughter up and he said, you come here. He said, I want you, one of you decide to be the instructor, and the other one, we're going to put a blindfold over you. And you're going to go back to the end of the room. Now, we're going to arrange all the chairs differently, and we're going to have people in the room calling out bad directions. He was mimicking the world in their lives. And he says, when we get the chairs arranged, we will count to three, and then the first one that makes it here, and he was standing on one side, and the young person was standing on the other. The first one that makes it here wins a prize, and I think it was money or something. And amazingly enough, they started, and the whole room started yelling, started screaming, turn right, turn right, turn left, no, stop, wait, there's a chair, stop, oh, don't, you're going to fall. And Max started giving commands to his daughter. Take one step to the left, two steps forward, one step to the right, another half step to the right, three steps forward. Take three steps in right and two steps forward. And without touching a chair, without falling over anything, while the other contestant didn't clear the first row, his daughter was here. And they said, that's not fair. That's not fair. You cheated somehow. You had to cheat. There's no way. And they asked, they took the blindfold off of her and they said, how did you do it? How did you make it through all of this? We were yelling and screaming. She goes, I just listened to the voice of my daddy. I just listened to my father's voice. That's one thing that the Lord has told us here at the River. If we'll listen to his voice, he will guide us every step. That 2022 was going to be a treacherous path, but if we'll just hear his voice and follow those instructions, he will get us home. And he has. And he has. Oh, what a Savior. But they didn't understand why Jesus was telling them this. My sheep hear my voice, the Lord says. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, and all who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If any man enters by the door, or enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and to destroy. He says, I have come that they might have life and, compound sentence here, not just life, but that they might have it more abundantly. Are you living the abundant life? Now, before you say that, before you answer that, does your abundant life line up with the Word of God and His picture of the abundant life? Because there are a lot of people, Mark Zuckerberg thinks he's living the abundant life, but unless he repents, he's going to end up in hell. There are a lot of people that think that they've got the abundant life. They've got the abundant life here. I would hate to think that this would be the only heaven that they will ever know. Because the abundant life sees us through this life, through the perils of this life, through the distractions and voices of this life, and gets us into eternity with Him, with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the abundant life. Amen? I've got to hurry on. Skip down about five verses just for time's sake. Romans chapter 6. I think it may be more than that on yours. There we go. Romans chapter 6. In Romans 5, we see where the people are saying, well, if grace is so good, why don't I just go on sinning? Why don't I just keep living in my sin so that I get more grace? And the Apostle Paul is very quick to correct them. He, in verse numbers in Romans 6, 1, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And the Apostle Paul says, certainly not. Certainly not. We're called as believers to depart from iniquity, to depart from sin, to take on the righteousness of Christ. Does that mean we'll never sin? No. Does that mean we won't ever slip? No. No. But we are to depart from that. He says, how shall we who died, past tense, died, there's an ED on the end of it, to sin, live in it any longer, live in sin any longer? How, if we're dead to sin, how are we going to go on living in it? If we've accepted Jesus as our Savior, how can we go on in a life that is displeasing to Him? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through the baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I can't go back to the pre-Jesus JC. There's a tug to go back there. There's a pull to go back there. There's always a chicken exit to go back there. But I can't go back. Can't go back. And if I visit there or go past there, I have to move away from there because I no longer fit in my past life. How about you? I no longer fit in my past because my past did not define who I was. It defined where I was for a moment of time away from Christ Jesus. But it did not define who I was and who I would become in Christ Jesus. Amen? And praise God for that. Because some of us were rascals. Some of us were mean. I have a cousin, and if she sees this video, she'll say amen. She'll put a big old amen right there. When I went and visited to my aunt's funeral, and they were grieving, and she used to babysit me as a child. And she went back home from Ohio to Ohio and told her mom, I can't never go back up there again. That JC's the meanest little boy I've ever seen in my life. So here we are. We're helping her grieve at her mama's funeral, my aunt. And what does she start saying? Oh, you were the meanest little boy. And she goes, I can't hardly believe that you're a preacher. You were the meanest little boy I ever knew in my life. She goes, I would tell you to not to do something, and you would do it just to spite me. I would tell you this, and I would tell you that. And she was like, I told her, I said, well, I don't remember a whole lot of that, but I sure do love you for not killing me. Are we tied or chained or bound to an image of us in the past? Does the devil throw your past in your face? Are there things in your past that you weren't proud of? Why doesn't the devil throw your new accomplishments in your face? Remember John Whetstone telling us, why aren't we ever tempted to do good? Or to do the right thing. Aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus? Aren't you glad that there's freedom in Jesus Christ? Aren't you glad that we have liberty in Jesus? That we can be set free once and for all, free for the rest of our days, if we will give it to Him. The Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. In 1776, the colonists of Great Britain had had enough. They'd had enough. They were being taxed into poverty without representation. The mean cry was no taxation without representation, and the monarchy would not listen. And it got to the point. It got to the point where they said, we can no longer live under these conditions. And Thomas Jefferson took pen in hand and began to write the preamble to the Declaration of Independence. And if you get a chance this weekend yet, read it or listen to it. The Declaration of Independence. A lot of times we as believers, we come to the Lord thinking everything's going to be okay. We come to the Lord thinking that we've turned a new leaf or we've taken a new path. But there may be something that we have to declare our independence from in our past. I had a friend, a dear friend, that's gone on out of this world now. And he had a violent, violent temper. He had a heart of gold, but he had a violent temper. And he said, don't blame me. I'm Polish and Irish. I can't help it. His nickname was Skeebs. And I said, Skeebs, you may be Polish and you may be Irish. And I said, I think that's one of the reasons that I love you, because, I like kielbasa and I love corned beef. I said, but to take license and to take permit because you're Irish and you got a temper does not negate the fact that it falls at your feet. What do you mean? I just can't deal with idiots. Okay. What do people say when they talk to you? What do you mean? What do people say about your interaction with them? Well, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm a good guy. Everybody loves me. Now, you got a friend, right? You're trying to help him, right? You're trying to tell him the truth, right? And I think outside myself and a few of his family members, I don't think anybody loved him. He was deceived. You would have thought that every time the Cubs lost a ball game that he was going through a divorce all over again. 160 some games a year, and back then the Cubs weren't even winning half of them. He took up fishing to get away from listening to the Cubs. And then somebody brings a radio on the boat. It's like, throw that thing overboard. Then he started watching Notre Dame football. And Notre Dame started losing. And I'm like, dude. He goes, well, what's your favorite team? I said, I'm not going to tell you because you might like them. You might jinx them. And I don't want to listen to you. I'm having fun. Is there something of the old nature, of the old man, that is being resurrected in you? They're talking about Lazarus in Super Church today. You know, when Jesus went to the tomb and he said, tell me where you've laid him. His sister said, Lord, he's been in there for 4 days. Surely he stinks. Jesus said, roll away the stone. Take the stone. What stone is standing between you and hearing Jesus call your name? Has society, has the world rolled a stone in front of you and written you off? That was me. He'll never amount to anything. Never amount to anything. So they did what Jesus said. They rolled the stone away. And he stepped up and looked into that and he began to pray. He said, Father, I know that you hear my prayer and I know that you're going to answer my prayer. I know, and that's one thing that Jesus had that we need to get, is that we know that God hears and will answer our prayers. He said, I don't pray this for myself. He said, I pray it for these around here so that they might know. And he looked into that tomb, into that place of decay, into that place of rot, into that place of death. And he said, Lazarus? You know, Jesus loved Lazarus, right? Lazarus, who you love, is sick, remember? Do you know when anybody talks about you to Jesus? It's Josh, who you love. It's Andy, who you love. It's Bobby, who you love. It's Luke, who you love. It's Corey, who you love. It's Terry, who you love. When I pray for you, and I lift up your name, and I do, it's Denise, Lord, who you love. And he looked into that tomb of the friend that he loved. Knowing where he was. You see, Jesus didn't see him in a tomb. Jesus saw him in paradise. Knowing where he was, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And better than any double creature feature, better than the mummy, it's alive. Bound in his grave clothes, up from the dead, came Lazarus. And Jesus said, there you go. And been done with it. Let's go eat. That's how we know Jesus wasn't a Baptist. He didn't bring a green bean casserole. A friend of mine asked one time, he says, he was said, I joined the Baptist church. He goes, what kind of Bible do I need? And the guy handed him a Thompson Chain Reference Bible, and he said, oh, and you'll probably want one of these. And he got him a 11 by 14 casserole dish. Those of you who understand Baptist humor will understand that. The others of you, you can ask me later. I'll explain it. He didn't leave him there. He didn't say, let's go eat. He said, loose him. Take those restrictions off of him. Take those binding clothes that represent death from off of him. He's alive. And if you've been born again today, you're alive. Don't try to wrap yourself in those old grave clothes anymore. They're stinky. They don't fit. They restrict. They constrict. Today, let me speak liberty into your life. Let me speak freedom into your life. As Jesus would stand here and say to each one of you, you are loosed and you're free. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, you can be free. You can be free. Settle for nothing less than the liberty that is found in Christ Jesus on this Independence Day. This can be your Independence Day. Oh, Father, we thank you, we praise you that today we can declare our independence from our past. We can declare independence from our sin. We can declare independence, Lord, from the failures of our past. We can be loosed and set free to live as you have called us to live and to prosper and be in health even as our soul does prosper. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom and liberty and the abundant life that is found nowhere else but you. And it's in your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at the River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.